You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have back with me Tavi and Kevin from Crescat Capital. And I want to ask, of course, we want to get their views on the precious metals. But before we go there, I would like to hear, perhaps Tavi, you can start with you on interest rates. You know, we're looking at a 10-year yield. It's way, way below the inflation rate. And University of Michigan CPI expectations, I think it was one of your slides you recently provided at Crescat Gets Active, one of your YouTube videos. Over the next 10 years, they're looking for something like 2.35%. Well, we already have inflation that's, what, 8%? And probably higher than that, but those are the government numbers. What are your thoughts about the predictability of longer-term? What are you worried about inflation for? Look at the 10-year yield. I mean, it's not telling us there's any inflation, as if the 10-year yield could really predict inflation. And some people, I think Jim Bianco, for example, has talked about the 10-year not being a predictor of inflation, but rather a predictor of a breaking point. Tavi, any thoughts along those lines?
Well, I think anyone using the 10-year yield to look at signals for inflation is either ignoring the fact that the Fed is the largest buyer of those instruments or choosing to ignore that. But what concerns us is the fact that the Treasury market, the issuance of especially the long end of the curve, so the bonds and notes of Treasuries, we're seeing issuances of $600 billion every 3 months. The Fed has been buying somewhere close to 40% of that with QE. And the question really is, if they're going to be removing that part of the liquidity of the market, who is going to be the buyer of all this? Yeah. Magically, we've seen banks taking some of that liquidity recently. But I don't think you're going to be able to do it all. So either foreign investors are going to do it. However, there is certainly a need for central banks to start rebuilding their credibility, especially in regards to what's happening with this questioning from individuals and institutions about either the strength or the no anchor towards fiat currencies in general. And mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be a need for central banks as a whole, globally, especially developed economies, to start rebuilding that credibility by buying things like gold in order to create that tangible anchor back to where we saw. And to your question about inflation and all those issues, you know, coming from an emerging market economy, I know very well that you don't fight inflation with double-digit twin deficits, zero interest rates, and adding QE for another 3 months. That's just not how you do it. You have to raise interest rates at least double digits to do something like that. You know, I think policymakers have completely lost their notion of how to deal with inflation. So, you know, you look at, for instance, just very quickly, negative yielding bonds worldwide. They used to be somewhere close to $18.5 trillion. No one talks about this. It's $6 trillion lower. So cost of capital is on the rise, particularly among developed economies. And I think that's going to start, I think investors are going to start connecting the dots of what instruments, i.e. technology companies and high duration assets, are not priced accordingly if we have a world where capital cost of capital is supposedly much higher than what it is today. So, you know, we're concerned about all those issues. We're short treasuries in our funds. And another way to do that trade is by being short technology and software companies as a whole.
So you see, inflation continuing to rise, the Fed really not having any tools to deal with it, any tools that they can deal with. The system will break down if they try to stop it, like Volcker did in 1980. There's really no answer to this other than just more printing, ultimately. After the system breaks down, or I don't know, Kevin, maybe you want to weigh in.
That's a great question because I think know, for the Fed to come back in with all that liquidity again, what we need to see is something break down first. So where we are in the cycle right now is we think that the Fed really does have to start some kind of tightening. Of course, they've announced a taper. There is some interest rate hikes in, you know, further out priced into the yield curve right now. But it's really nothing compared to where inflation is really running today. So you talked about Volcker in the late 70s and early 80s, hiking interest rates all the way up to 20%. I mean, we're at 0% right now on the short end of the curve. So we got a long ways to go. Inflation is running at 6.8%, but the 10-year inflation expectations priced into the TIPS curve right now are only 2.5%. So you have short-term inflation, CPI running at 6.8%. But long-term, I think people do actually still think that inflation is going to be transitory to some degree because 10-year break-evens are only 2.5% inflation. So so we need to see first of all, we need to see what's going to happen when the Fed starts removing the liquidity punch bowl. And I think there's a lot of opportunity on the short side, for that. But I think when people start to see that inflation really isn't going away, that they're really hardly doing anything enough to really fight inflation, we're still at 0%, interest rates, that, that's when you really start to see precious metals catch a bit. And if you start to see the long-term inflation expectations rising, like in those 10-year break-evens, man, I think we're really going to be poised to take off on the gold side.
Either of you could comment on what are the dynamics that won't allow, if the market isn't seeing this longer-term inflation problem that both of you see, what are they missing? Either of you, Tavi, maybe you want to weigh in on that.
Well, I think what they're missing is that transition to understanding what assets will be impacted in this world where it's very different in the prior 10 years where we saw disinflationary forces in general through technology, through globalization. Now that's all changing. We're facing a wage growth spiral, in our opinion, the very beginning of that. The second part of this has been, the underinvestment, this chronic underinvestment into natural resource industries, and this idea that we're going to be rebuilding the whole global economy through electrification and green revolution, completely miscalculating the issue of finding new minerals or metals that can actually, fit into this world, this new world. And so today, in order for you to take from exploration to production any project in natural resource industries, it takes at least 10 years. And so, we've seen, those trends of CapEx, long-term CapEx, already in a declining situation for secular declines. And so what is it going to change here? And on top of it, we're seeing a lot of the fiscal policies. It's almost like really trying to create a wealth transfer that is really targeted towards the bottom 50%. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, what you get from this as a cost is that inflationary forces tend to be a lot stronger. We've seen this throughout history, especially with emerging markets, where the target from fiscal policies has always been towards the bottom 50% of the population. So, I think there's a lot of issues towards that. And answering your question, what the market is not seeing is that mismatch. It's the total mismatch between those high duration assets relative to, in our opinion, what it is the ultimate deep value opportunity here, really is in the precious metals industry, really is in the producers. Even more than that is buying gold and silver in the ground, which is, you're buying literally, for cents on the dollar today, where we think they're worth significantly more than that. And so you're not really, I don't think companies are being rewarded for a lot of those successful drill results that we're seeing today. Some of those drill results would be companies would be quadrupling on those numbers. No. And today they barely go up. And so that's what the market is missing. But at some point we're going to see that also the re-rating of the bottom of the market, where the value or perhaps value more according to the macro environment.
Yeah, I should tell our listeners that, Tavi, you are from Brazil, so you certainly have had some experience with third with developing countries and the mentality, but it seems as though the mentality of this developed country, the United States of America, is very similar. Print your way out of and go into debt, which is just a fool's errand for sure. Well, I'd like to ask you your views on gold and silver. Why have they – gold and silver both were, I think, disappointing performers for all of us bulls. Why do you think that was true? Kevin, you want to start out with that? Why do you think 2021 is a disappointment in gold and silver?
Well, I think probably the main reason is that the Federal Reserve really did an incredible job of selling the world on the idea that inflation is going to be transitory and they've got our back, right? That this, mm-hmm. this new tapering program is going to be what it takes, even though they were totally wrong in their dot plots and everything about how high inflation was going to be here already. I think there's still enough people, and this is what's priced into that to the long end of the curve in terms of inflation expectations. The world still believes that long-term inflation expectations are under control, and it's until we really see that picture change, which I believe it in the process of changing, right now. I don't think we're going to see gold take off, and so what you've had is other commodities do really well this year, like energy mm-hmm. stocks and the companies that produce the commodities. So some of the industry groups that have led the market this year and they're doing better than tech stocks are actually in other, base metals and energy type industries. Mm-hmm. And that's okay because it's nice to see commodities starting to outperform. But why has gold underperformed? I think that's the question on everyone's mind. And it's not until that long-term inflation expectations start to change in people's minds that I think we really see gold start to take off.
Yeah, and as you were just saying, obviously the market doesn't see that. They are still drinking the Kool-Aid, as it were, from the Federal Reserve, the transitory Kool-Aid, we could call it, I guess. Yeah. I'm just wondering, with either of you, in terms of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, I know there's a lot of younger investors that are looking, they distrust the Fed, they distrust the government, they distrust the idea, and they realize that this fiat currency system is being used to redistribute wealth to the already people who are already rich and powerful. They realize that that the dollar is losing its value, so they're going into cryptocurrencies. Do you think that might be, Tavi, do you think that might be one of the reasons that gold isn't doing as well as you might expect it to at this stage?
I think that has something to do with that, no doubt. However, I think crypto is important to separate two parts. Number one is there is certainly a speculative side of it, which is fits into, as well as the tech industry and the tech sector in general. I think we're seeing issues with those imbalances in that space. However, crypto in general is the biggest, in our opinion, is the biggest libertarian political movement we've seen uh-huh. in either in history or in a very long time. And we think that what's going to do here is that more individuals that actually subscribe to the same ideology of removing either government intervention from the monetary system or at least pointing out the failures of the current monetary system in the fiat side. I think we're going to start seeing central banks being forced to rebuild their credibility through improving the quality of their international reserves. It's insane mm-hmm. to us that we've seen the best and the most credible central banks today are actually the ones that hold a significant amount of debt from the U.S. and mm-hmm. all treasuries. Yeah. And so it is fascinating to look at those movements. But I think that's going to drive more individuals to question that issue with central banks and the lack of anchor and tangible anchor, first and foremost, from fiat currencies that we lost in some places, especially in the U.S. since the 70s. And so I think that what the crypto revolution in a way is positive. I think that's another way of bringing that awareness to investors in general about those failures in the monetary system. But, don't forget about the speculative side. Certainly it is what Kevin likes to call it the Wild West. And you know, we're seeing all sorts of signs of scams and parts of the industry that are very concerning from a valuation side of things again, but also from a speculative side of things. And so we are concerned about crypto in general as being one of the signs of what we think it's still bearish about the market as a whole. However, it is a libertarian movement that could perhaps drive at least the awareness of credibility of central banks, and could be gold and first and foremost the asset that may be driven that demand towards improving quality of international reserves in general.
All right, just in summing up in this segment then, let me just ask both of you, bearish on equities and treasuries, bullish on gold, silver, and commodities in general, with the caveat that gold we may have to wait and see for the market to finally understand that inflation isn't transitory. Do I have that right?
For the most part, I would add that on the bearish side of equities, for us, we believe there's a bifurcated market and there's a lot of opportunity in the much narrower value oriented side of the market that is largely the energy and commodity resource sectors of the stock market. But there's opportunity on the long side there. On the short side, however, it's really the growth stocks and especially the mega cap growth stocks and the technology stocks that make up 50% of a record 50% of the growth stock indices today.
Wow.
That's
mm-hmm.
where the bubble is in growth and technology. And there's, I don't know what the huge, it's a huge chunk of the companies in these indices that are not even profitable. So the mm-hmm. valuations are truly excessive today. And there's a lot of risk and a lot of opportunity, we think, on that side, on that short side of the market too.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a lot of zombie companies out there. And if interest rates start to rise, they're dead zombies. And in that case, it's hard to see where anybody goes except real honest money, gold and silver. Well, we do have to go at that. We have to go to break now. But don't go away, because Quentin Henning will be back with us right after the break to talk about some of the companies that really have some great prospects, I think, possibly to equal the sort of performance that we've recently seen with Great Bear's Dixie Project. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Quentin Henning.
Lion Wine Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.